We play and call it work.
Hi there, and welcome to another Sit and Talk with me, Chris. For next week's Sit and Talk, it will be Steve. So if you have any questions relating Steve Mountain related, just put them in the comments below. And of course, if you're in respond to anything that I've said today, or you know, or you want to add on something, or you want to ask another question, feel free. Just simply leave it at Chris below, but otherwise at Steve for Steve next week. And so we are going to jump in right away to these questions. And so the first one here is from Big Mikey. Chris, who fanboyed the hardest when you and the Warhammer Live guys all met? Also, is there any model detail that you hate painting? If so, why? Who fanboyed the hardest? I think young fella from the Warhammer Live team. He was really happy and excited to meet everybody. I can't remember what the young guy's name is, but he was super excited to meet Steve, and so I think he might have fanboyed the hardest meeting Steve. So I thought that was a lot of fun. It was really great meeting all those guys too. It was a lot of fun. Also, is there any model or detail that you hate painting? If so, why? Not really anything that I hate painting. And really, you know, you should always look at, you know, these things as challenges, right? As something to overcome, and so really, I guess really what it is, I guess it's repetition. Repetition kind of bores me. So it's not really any model or detail. It's really the aspect of painting, say, you know, 100 Space Marines all the same way. That just seems really tedious to me. And, you know, I mean, some people out there just love it, sit down, just, you know, hammer through it. Myself, personally, I get bored after, like, 3 or 4 Marines, and I want to do other things. I want to try different other things, and, you know, I just get bored. And, you know, it takes a while. I mean, you know, evidence in, like, my Eldar army, I've been collecting it since, like, 97. And, you know, I mean, it's, a lot of models are sitting in various stages of completeness. So, you know. It's really that. It's not one particular model or detail. It's the idea of many models doing the same thing over and over. It's the repetition. It just does not excite me at all. The Eye of Night. Chris, we caught the Adepticon pics. How was it hanging out with GW paint guru Duncan? I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. It was great to meet him. When we had dinner together, we swapped notes and stories, and, you know, realized that we have more in common than we do differences. And, basically, you know, because really it was, I was asking him a lot of, like, work-related questions, you know, like, in regards to his filming process and, you know, like how he works out, like, what exactly video he's going to be filming and, like, what their work progress is like, because, I mean, he is, his, those videos, it's a two-man team that creates those videos, whereas myself is just one guy, beginning to end, you know, but, I mean, even, you know, a big company like Games Workshop, I kind of figured maybe about 3 or 4 people are working on those videos, and, you know, but no, it's just a two-man team working on those videos, which, you know, is quite impressive because, I mean, they provide a video every day, you know, myself included. I mean, like, you know, make these videos, you know, every day. And it was just a lot of fun talking to him and just, you know, trading stories. And, you know, he's just a really cool guy. And it was a lot of fun to meet him. Dazzard. Hey, Chris, question. I'm new to painting and have started with some basic acrylic paints because monies. However, I'm having problems with paint being extremely streaky and not covering well. Do you have any tips for getting better, smoother coverage? Regards, Daz. Well, hopefully you're priming your models before you're beginning to lay the paint down. Make sure that you shake your paints very well before applying them, because again, if they're streaking or anything like that, it could possibly be that they're not thoroughly mixed. The medium and the pigment are not mixing. So you do need to make sure that they are shaken very well. Of course, if all those criteria are met, you know, priming and you're shaking your paints. Also too, you know, like for example, whatever kind of model surface you're working on, for example, you know, your primer is only there to provide a surface for your paint to grab a hold of, especially on plastic models or even ceramics and things like that. That's all the primer is for. And if you overprime, you can end up happening, have you ever seen like ink on like really kind of thick stock paper where you just dab it and it just kind of bleeds everywhere? That can also occur too when you overprime. And so, you know, those are a lot of things to watch out for. It's better to underprime rather than overprime. And to get really smooth coverage, you got to thin your paints down just a bit. Typically you can use just a little, you know, just like I often just dunk the brush in the water, just give it a quick little snap, just to kind of shake the excess off, but otherwise water still retains in the bristles. And then I begin to mix that into the paint and use that to thin down the paint ever so slightly. Most Citadel paints, you really don't have to thin that much. Any of the paints like Scale 75 or MIG Ammo or Vallejo, they're already kind of thin paints, and so they don't require really that much thinning. So if you're using any of those, but if you're using acrylic paints, from like regular art store type of supply, they might be a heavier bodied paint, and so make sure that they're water soluble acrylic paints, and you can cut them down with water. But otherwise, it is all about the thinning the colors down, you know, the brushes you're using as well, because if you have too coarse a brush, you can end up having like these really, like it's like, you know, like imagine like a fork, you know, running through a soft liquid kind of thing, and it's like a trowel, right? And it just kind of cuts through the surface and it leaves these big streaks behind. So again, your brush could also be a culprit as well. If it's too coarse a brush, you have to get a finer sable brush, or if you're in the art store, look for watercolor brushes, hair, like fine tipped haired watercolor brushes. Those are more akin to what we use in miniature painting. But otherwise, Daz, hopefully that helps. And yeah, if it doesn't, feel free to ask another question. And, you know, yeah, happy to give it a shot. Chosen One. Chris, are there any interesting or funny tales from Adepticon you wish to share? I think I've asked everyone else, and it seems like everyone came away with something different. But it was a grand time. How do you feel about the direction the 40K fluff is taking, and is there anything you want out of 8th edition? Interesting. I have a lot of Flow Aid from Liquitex, which I bought to make washes, but it works, and it works excellently. I'm never going back to straight water for wash base again, but I've only used a very small amount, and I was wondering if there's any other uses for it. I don't actually know what it's for outside of being key wash ingredient. Read any books you'd want to recommend lately? For Glory and Tiny Pizzas, Chosen One. Jeez, you ask a whole bunch of questions there. I guess when you got the opportunity, right? You ask a bunch of questions and, you know, we'll get to it. And, you know, heck, might even end up taking the whole slot here. So anything funny happened to Adepticon that I wish to share? No. All around, it was a great time. You know, I got to play a game of 40K with Matthew. He was emailing me and wanted to play, and so I had a lot of fun doing that. I missed out on playing a game of Artemis this year with the boys and everything like that, so I kind of, you know, was a little bit regretful of that. But as far as anything interesting or funny, it was all interesting, and many laughs were had. So, you know, yeah, I mean, anything I want to share? Nothing that's PG related, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, it's when you get the boys all together and, you know, we're out of town and we're having fun, and, you know, so, you know, it's those kind of things. Yeah, but it was a grand time, and I hope we get to go again next year. And, you know, have another great time, because Adepticon is a lot of fun. And if you've never been to Adepticon, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Especially if you're in North America. If you're in Europe and such, definitely. If you're on this side of the planet around that time that it's happening, definitely make sure you can try and attend, because it's a lot of fun. And it's everything wargaming. That's what really is fantastic about it, is it's everything wargaming. How do I feel about the direction of 40K Fluff is taking? Well, we haven't really seen a whole lot as far as, I mean, other than the Gathering Storm stuff. I like it. I like the idea of progressing, sort of not really the storyline, but we're getting a little bit more going on. And even back in the day, when we had like the 13th Crusade campaigns coming out, and what was the other one? Oh, Ikvar 4. That was another old campaign that, basically changed the galactic map, as it were. And that's actually one story you actually see kind of repeated throughout the regular canon I don't know if it still is, but Ikar 4, yeah, because that was a huge campaign that I think was run like by Andy Chambers or something like that. And, it was the destruction of a planet, and, everybody could get involved with that one way back in the day. And then, of course, they did it again for 13th Crusade, where basically, Abaddon's coming out of the Eye of Terror and he's running amok. And, now we have, the Gathering Storm and, with the onset of 8th edition, definitely it seems really exciting as far as, advancing the storyline. But I mean, like, they can't advance it too far. They're not going to go, really wild with it. And, because, they don't want to change anything. It's not like, what they did with Fantasy to Age of Sigmar, which, basically, Fantasy isn't even a thing anymore. The Age of Sigmar universe isn't really Fantasy realm. It's interdimensional. I mean, you could throw in 40K stuff into Age of Sigmar, and it should work, because as far as background is concerned, it's all interdimensional. It's realms. And so who's to say that one realm isn't pointing towards our galaxy? And, then we have Tyranids in the Age of Sigmar and, stuff like that. I mean, those are entirely possible, because, again, it's these pockets of reality. And, Kamora, the Dark Eldar realm, that's a pocket of reality. And so, I mean, who's to say that, those universes can't intertwine, that the Age of Sigmar universe isn't a part of the 40K universe, right? They're trapped in the warp, or, something like that. I mean, who's to say, right? So, yeah, I mean, but as far as, like, the rest of the background's concerned, I mean, we're going to really see once the rulebook comes out, and, because often they have, like, the whole background material and, the state of, the Imperium kind of thing, right? So we'll find out once the book drops. What was your other part? Oh, you have a flow aid from Liquitex and you bought it to make washes. Is there any other uses for it? Typically it's just used to thin the paint down and to provide that viscosity. That's its only job. If you buy, gel medium, it only has one purpose, to add a gel-like quality to it, or use it as is. But otherwise, yeah, the medium flow aid, that's its job. That's why you buy it. That's why you use it. It's to provide that quality to whatever you're mixing. And, obviously, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic stuff. I love it. I recommend it to all painters out there. They should definitely have a bottle of it or a similar product, just so that, because, I mean, that way you're not limited to, always using Gnome oil or Agaracker shade, or, like, you can actually turn your Mephiston red into a shade wash and shade, Orc flesh with it. And, all these different things that you can do with it in regards to using, like, a shade wash, right? Or you can even use it like a glaze if you want. Really, it's entirely always entirely up to you as to, how you use a product. I mean, if somebody finds a different way to use it, definitely feel free to share it, because, I only ever use my Flowade to make shade washes out of it. And, you've seen from various videos, I'll just add a little bit of color to my palette, a drop or two into the mix, and that's it. That's all you need, right? So, yeah. Read any books you'd want to recommend lately? The only thing I've been reading is The Horse Heresy. I'm starting to truck my way through that series. I've got a long way to go because I'm starting right from the beginning. So if you haven't read them, as far as like Games Workshop books, if you've ever read The God's Ghost, Dan Abnett, fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic series. It makes you believe that Imperial Guard really can kind of, you know, do the job. It's not just space, because I mean, like, Space Marines, you know what I mean? Like, they're really supposed to be mythical, right? They're you know, it's unbelievable when you see a Space Marine, you know. Whereas Imperial Guard, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, right? In different worlds, and you got different, you know, different kinds of humans, all a part of the Imperial Guard. And so, really, the 40K should be about the Imperial Guard and not Space Marines. It really should. The heroes of the Imperium really should be the Imperial Guard, and the Space Marines are, you know, it's like the gods of Mount Olympus kind of thing, that they just come down and, you know, help out a battle and, you know, things like that. Whereas the Imperial Guard should be the mainstay of 40K, because, you know, there's billions upon billions of humans in the Imperial Guard, and, you know, there's only, you know, 1,000 chapters with 1,000 Marines, right? I mean, like, with the exception of maybe Black Templars, right? Because if you read their fluff, it's kind of indeterminate how big their chapter really is, because they go off into splinter groups and they make their own crusades and they have to refill their Marines, and so, you know, who knows actually how big they are. Where are we? Pirates? I don't know. Anyway, hey Chris, just wanted to tell you I enjoy your series on painting complete miniatures more than anything else. Can you plan on picking out some GW newer releases as they come out and paint them up like you did for the Triumvirates, but also sprinkle in some user questions for particular techniques? Interesting. Like maybe paint up one or two of the new Dardan overlords, then pick a couple of user questions, and then one or two whatever the next new GW releases, then some user questions, and so on. That's interesting. I kind of like that. It's a bit kind of like what GW is currently doing. But yeah, definitely, like, you know, using a newer model and, you know, addressing a particular question as far as technique is concerned and how would you handle it. Yeah, that's definitely doable. It looks like you're doing something similar to this, but I wanted to see if you had a solid plan for the way you do your quick tips. Last of all, just wanted to say thanks for your painting tips. You definitely helped me become a better painter. If I had more requests, it would be to do more non-airbrush tutorials. It seems most of the YouTube painting tutorials are done with airbrushes, and since I won't ever use an airbrush, I treasure the non-airbrush tutorials. Or, if you're using an airbrush, please help explain how you could achieve similar results without an airbrush. I know you've done this, done some of these, like when you did the three different ways to paint Brimstone Horrors, and I would like to just see more of those. Very good. I really should do more of a complete kind of series. It does take more time to do those kind of things. The Brimstone models, obviously, you know, like, it was painting the same model, and I mean, like I said in the beginning here, I mean, I get bored painting the same model in the same fashion all the time, right? And so when I do a similar model and show pretty much the same color scheme, I want to do it in different fashions, right? Show it by airbrush, show it by layering, show it by glazing, show it by blending, show it by, you know, whatever, and, you know, so on and so forth, right? I do like that idea. I like the idea of, you know, incorporating a newer model. But I mean, incorporating the newer model for the sake of it being new doesn't really help anybody. I mean, it kind of does, but it's not really. It's more fashionable. Because I mean, like, if I was talking about wet blending and I was showing the new, you know, the new overlords there, and the, you know, doing the little spherical things that are those helium spheres or whatever the heck they are, anti-gravity pods. I don't know what they are. Anyway. You know, and showing wet blending on them, I'm not sure if that really is helpful. But then again, I mean, like, I'm not really basing it on anything, because really quick tips is based on your questions. All of you guys, vault members, non-vault members, mostly vault members though, asking the questions, right? Because I mean, like, I honestly don't know what you guys want to see. I don't really know what would be helpful. And so when you ask me a question, I can spit out an answer, and, you know, I think it's helpful. It seems to be helpful up to this point. So, I mean, you know, as long as I still have something to impart upon people, I'll continue doing it. And really, quick tips, yeah, is dependent upon your feedback. If you guys don't provide any feedback, then I have no idea if the video was successful in regards to helping you, or if it was a failure in regards to nobody watched it, or maybe one guy watched it, but he really, really liked it and it was helpful. But everybody else was like, oh, I've seen that 100 times. You know what I mean? But I mean, it was helpful, but I mean, it wasn't, you know, really widely viewed. Again, I have no idea. I mean, it's really all your feedback. So you guys have to provide the feedback for me to know where to steer things, right? Because I mean, currently I'm working on Reboot Gilliman, and I'm just kind of trucking along with him right now. And it's really more of a beginning to end kind of series. It's not really kind of like a quick tip. And it's really taking more time than I wanted to do. And I would like to return to kind of like how I had done recently with the film noir type style. I'd like to do more, a return back to that kind of quick tip format where I'm just answering a specific kind of thing. It's a quick, you know, easy, it's, you know, it's direct, and, you know, it's based off your questions is really what it is. It's based off your questions. I still have a big master list of people's questions. It's just I haven't updated lately because people have not really been, you know, posing more questions. And really, this series has not really kind of warranted, you know, people's response. People just kind of, yeah, it's pretty cool, or it's found it interesting, or you know what I mean? Again, I'm not really sure what to showcase within those videos because, again, I'm not getting all the feedback that, you know, that you guys need, like, you know, if you're asking questions. So, yeah. I don't know. Did that answer the question? I think that answered the question. Yeah. So, Hailwind. Hello, Chris. How are you today? Today I'm good. I have a squad of ghost keels and stealth suits, but I want to paint them to somewhat see through. Whoa. I want to paint them somewhat to see through. Ethereal, corporeal, etc. How would you do that? What colors would you use, etc.? Thanks for the info. Keep up the great work, and thanks for all the tips. To paint them see-through, really, I mean, to convey that sense that the object that you're looking at, it's kind of like how painters will do like ice or jade or glass, gemstones, right? Okay, it's in that similar vein. Okay, so like we've all seen the troll with, like, say his axe, his blade is ice, and it looks like we can see the wood in the ice, even though that's in a painted effect, right? But it only works for certain perspectives. And so really, to go for a see-through look, it's really dependent upon the environment around the model to convey that sense that light is passing completely through it. If the model is just on its regular base, and you're painting this model to have a background, you know, image, because that's what's going to convey you can see through it, is that the background is showing through. So if you're doing this for tabletop models, the effect is not gonna really happen that well, versus if you're doing it for a diorama or a display piece or competition piece or something like that, or, you know, like the display battle board is another one. So you can do it for tournament style and do it for gaming models. But really, it's all dependent upon that background information that has to read through the model to convey the sense that we're looking at something that's translucent or transparent, right? Because that's the effect you're looking for, is it's somewhat clear that you can see through it. Other than, I don't advocate it, but other than, you know, casting them in clear material is the next way. They're cast in a clear plastic or clear resin is the other option, right? That way they are perfectly clear. If these are tabletop models, then yeah, make them clear, right? So they have that kind of invisible kind of predator type, you know, kind of look to them, you know. But otherwise, yeah, to do that effect, that make them look see-through or corporeal, it's all dependent upon the information behind them. Because again, like I said, you can paint them to have like all these browns and it looks like a desert with like a palm tree behind them, and then you go and you play on a table that's completely green. The model's not going to convey that sense that it's transparent, right? That's only going to work either on the display board, in a diorama, or for a competition piece that has like, you know, a big scenic base or something like that, right? That's the only way you're really going to convey that sense of transparency is, you know, the viewer has to be able to interpret the environment and see the environment in the model, passing through the model, right? But otherwise, it's in that same vein as like, you know, the troll with the frost axe, and you could see the wood in the ice. It was an excellent example of painting the effect that it's translucent, or even getting into like transparencies and see-through, like sheer cloth, right? Like, you know, like a woman's long dress, and, you know, you can see like, you know, the flesh underneath it kind of thing, right? So it's all in that similar kind of vein, creating those effects of depth. But otherwise, yeah, it would be a challenge. And if you've never tackled anything like that, because, I mean, it requires some fine blending. If you've never tackled anything like that, there's no easy way to do it. It requires practice and study. And you have to, again, convince the viewer that they're looking at a see-through object. And that requires something behind the model. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like if you had a brick wall and then you had your ghost keel, right? You'd have to simulate in high points those bricks. And how would that, you know what I mean? It's like, again, it requires study. You have to look at like glass sculptures and things like that. And ice sculptures is another good one. And see how light and objects play in behind that surface. You could do it with bare color, but, well, I suppose you could do it with bare color. I mean, like, say, for example, if you went with just, you know, going with, like, a grayscale and then just threw, like, say, a tint of blue in just for, like, you know, ambience and, you know, like, sky or whatever, or, you know, the background was dark or something like that, you could, but again, it requires study. You'd have to, study glass and ice sculptures and things like that and see how light passes through certain points. And again, it's only going to work for certain angles. It's not going to work 360 because, again, it's all on how the viewer is perceiving it, right? So it's a challenge. If you work out something, send me pics because I'd like to see what your answer is for it. Seamus O'Leary. Seamus O'Leary, I like that name. Hey Chris, I'm not a painter, but I love watching your live streams just because you're entertaining and incredibly talented. Well, thank you. I also feel like if I were to ever get into painting, you'd be a great teacher. Well, thank you. My question is, of all the models you've ever painted, which are you most proud of? Keep up the good work. P.S. It's pronounced Seamus O'Leary. Seamus O'Leary or Leary? O'Leary. It'd be O'Leary because the Leary is spelled differently. I got you. Seamus O'Leary. I like that. Anyway. Which model am I most proud of? Most proud of recently. I guess it's whatever I've recently completed. Like, I've recently completed my Wraith Knight. And, well, let's grab him. Right? I've recently finished him. I also have a little video online and everything like that, and some pictures and such on Instagram. You know, I'm pleased with him. He was a lot of fun. You know, he was something I dreamed up. I waited a long time to get this model because I had no idea what I was going to do with him. I had no idea how I was going to incorporate him into my army. And then I really wanted to do like this kind of Conan kind of pose where, you know, he's got the sword and, you know. And that's what I envisioned. That's what I wanted. I still would like to get some more. I would like to get like have like three of these guys just to go with my Phantom, you know, just as little bodyguards for him. And I'd probably paint them the same way, but just different poses and, you know, probably embellish the same way as well. And probably armed the same way. Again, I did not magnetize this at all. This is how I'm going to take him into battle probably most of the time, is with the sword. Because the way I play my Samhan force is mostly bikes and I have no close combat element. And so this guy is to fill that role. But yeah, that model, and probably the I can't quite grab the model, but the avatar of Yanid, the Incarn. I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with how he came out. Probably one or two things I probably would change with him. I probably would have gone a different direction with maybe a couple colors. Especially it's the icon that he's holding. I'm not sure it really works with the model. But otherwise everything else I'm pleased with, but it's really is the icon he's holding. Because I wanted to go with something different for him. And I wanted to kind of have that glowing rune, like it was powerful. But I think what I should have done was done in glowing kind of blue. I think, because I did it in a glowing kind of red, kind of fiery kind of red, right? And oranges, I should say, yellows and oranges. And so I probably should have went differently with that. And you know, but other than that, I mean, I'm pleased with it. And I mean, he was done rather quickly. He was done with the airbrush mostly. And I mean, I'm happy with how he turned out. And you know, I mean, he's quite colorful. He's bright. He's Eldarish. He's different. He's different from what I was seeing. A lot of people were painting theirs just like the GW one. And it's not until recently that I've seen more Incarns being painted differently, and which is great. And some of you have sent me pictures of them, and you know, awesome stuff. But yeah, so I think that's going to wrap it up for this one. And so we are going to continue this talk into the vault. And so again, for next sit and talk, it will be Steve. So if you have a question for him, just write it below at Steve. And of course, if it's in response to what anything I said today, then you can have it at Chris. But otherwise, hopefully you enjoyed this. Hopefully answered your questions to any kind of satisfactory capacity. And I will see you guys next time. And yeah, happy wargaming.